Well, if you will, turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, we're going to look at verses 11 through 15 today. Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. Man, what a great song that was. And there will be a day when we stand before the throne of God, when this life will be over and all the hurts and pain and anxiety and worry and health stuff and financial stuff is all going to be way far in the past. And we're going to be perfect with perfect bodies standing in the presence of Jesus. And the Bible says we should encourage each other with words like that. Amen? When times get tough, when people get down, we need to encourage, say, listen, this life we're living in now is only temporary. One day we're going to be perfect. There will be a day when we stand in the presence of the Almighty God. And so take heart to that. What a great song. Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. Let me ask you a question this morning. This is kind of a personal question. You don't have to answer out loud, but this is personal reflection, okay? How beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are your feet? You know, most of us would probably say, not that beautiful, okay? Not very beautiful. Most of us see our feet as not objects of beauty. And the thing about feet, our feet are important. In fact, doctors consider feet to be a good indicator of our overall health. I was reading this one doctor said. She said one of the first things that a doctor will look at on elderly patients is the condition of their feet, because it can tell so much. She said, your feet do far more than carry you from place to place. They give you a quick way of checking your overall health. They can tell you if you need more nutrients and if a serious medical condition is lurking in your body. So our feet are important. And not just the beauty of our feet, but our overall feet health is important. In Jesus' day, feet, understandably so, were the dirtiest part of your body. I mean, they didn't have shoes like we have today, shoes that cover your entire feet. They wore sandals. They walked barefoot, many of them. They walked on unpaved paths and roads, and people's feet would be covered with dust and dirt. That's why when you went into a house, they would wash your feet when you went into the house, because your feet were dirty. People had a lot of issues with their feet back then. There were health risks associated with going barefoot all the time. I mean, you can get cuts and abrasions and bruises and punctures. You can get hookworms and all kinds of different things that come in through your feet, other foot ailments, because their feet were exposed. And knowing all that, knowing the background there of feet, especially in Jesus' day, Paul's day, it's ironic that Paul uses the analogy of feet to talk about the gospel. He uses a passage, you can look it up or write it down, Isaiah 52:7. He uses that verse in the Old Testament as the imagery and the imagery of feet to explain the beauty of sharing the gospel. So let's take a look at this important message here in Romans. And let's learn what God thinks about this specific thing. This is part 16 in our sermon series, The Indispensable Gospel. Let's read it together, starting in verse 11. Now the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, since the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him that they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. How beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. This is a simple message today, a simple message that we need to understand. And the first point is this. I apologize, I don't have a PowerPoint, but I promise you the points are pretty easy. Number one, if you're taking notes, the first thing that we need to understand is the good news is for everyone. Amen? The good news is for everyone. Think about this promise for a minute. Think about what Paul says here. Basically, he's saying everyone can be saved from their sins. He lays out the foundation here for worldwide missions. The gospel has gone beyond just for the Jews. He's saying it's for everyone, the Gentiles, for everyone. And so he's making a case here that we need to go to the nations to share the gospel. The gospel is for everyone. The word everyone in Romans 10:13 is the very same word that's used in John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And so this means that anyone can be saved because Jesus died for the sins of everyone. And if you search through the scriptures, if you start in the book of Genesis and go all the way through Revelation, you will find that God's heart, his passion is for people to know him. Even in the Old Testament, his heart was for people to know him. We tend to think more of the gospel in a way of New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, God wanted people to know him. He wanted people to have a relationship with him. And so you will find that God's heart, his passion, is for people to know him. But there's a reality here, and we need to understand something. In order to know him, people have to call upon the name of the Jesus to be saved. Amen? Remember what Luke wrote over in Acts 4:12? He said, there is salvation in no one, for there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. You see, there aren't multiple roads, as some people would have you say. Think, you know, we live in a culture where everything's got to be equal and everything's got to be, on the same page, you know. And people say, well, there's different ways to get to God. Well, not according to the Bible that we understand. Not according even to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if I've often said, you know, people say, well, that's kind of a narrow-minded outlook on approaching God, you know, you're not open to other things. Well, listen, I didn't say that and you didn't say it. Jesus said it. So if you have an issue with that, take it up with him. He's the one that said those words, not me and not you. He's the one that said it. So many people think there are different roads, but there is just one road to God. There's only one, and it comes through Jesus. That's why it's important to proclaim his name. Amen. The name of Jesus. That's why we need missionaries both here and all over the world. We need people to share the gospel because the gospel is for everyone. Another thing we noticed here in the scripture, number two, it's really not good news for everyone until we share it. It's not good news for everyone until we share it. Look at verse 14 again. Let's read it together again. Let's have a reminder here because we're prone to forget. Paul says, but how can they call on him that they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? How can they hear without a preacher? You know, it's hard to believe in our day and time, when we think about all the technology that we have today in our society that's at our fingertips, literally. It's hard to believe that after 2,000 years since Christ died and came back to life, there are still people who don't know Jesus. There are still people who have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to believe. They don't have any knowledge of the good news about Jesus. In fact, I was looking up on our IMB website, International Mission Board, do you know that 59% of the world today is considered unreached? 59% is considered unreached. This means Jesus is not known or named among 4.5 billion people in our world today. And it's hard for us to wrap our head around that. Dr. Paul Chitwood, who is our IMB president, one of the things that he reiterated to us time and time and time again as we heard him speak at the convention back in June, he said the greatest problem in the world is lostness, and the only solution to the problem is the gospel. That is the truth. And so we have all these people that still need to hear. And Paul said, but how can they call on him whom they not believed in? How can they believe without hearing about him? How can they hear without a preacher? So in order for something to be news, if it's the good news, if we don't share it, then it's just information, it's just facts. In order for something to be news, it has to be shared. The facts may be true, but it's not news until it's shared. And God asks a very important question through Paul in verse 14. He said, while anyone can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, he said, how are they going to do that if they've never heard that God loves them and has made a way for their sins to be forgiven? Again, we live in a day in technology, and it's hard to believe that cell phone companies have penetrated many parts of these hard-to-reach areas, but there yet remain so many parts of our world that the gospel has never penetrated. It's hard for us to understand that. That's why our church gives to the cooperative program, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. This is why our church supports missions and missionaries. This is why we teach about missions and emphasize missions and the gospel. Because there are still people who need to hear the wonderful message of the gospel, both here and across the world. We just sang that song, I Love to Tell the Story. We need to tell the story. Because so many people need to hear. It's not good news for everyone until we share it. A third thing that I want us to notice from the scripture kind of goes along with point number two is somebody needs to share the good news. Number three, somebody needs to share the good news. Notice again verse 14, what does Paul say, the last part there? He said, how can they hear without a preacher? Normally when we hear the word preacher, we think of pastor of a church, right? I think that's a pretty understandable thing to think of there. But Paul isn't referring to a pastor of a church. In fact, the word preacher there that's used in this passage here from the Greek is from the Greek word kerusso. It literally refers to somebody who announces or proclaims. Somebody who announces or proclaims. This means, guys, that we as individuals cannot excuse ourselves from this passage because I'm not the preacher of a church. You don't have to be a preacher of a church. It means somebody who announces or proclaims. In Acts 1:8, Jesus promised that everyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit will be a witness. Remember what he said? When my Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he promises that everybody is filled with the Holy Spirit will be a witness. Guess what? If you're a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, just as a reminder, guess who indwells your life? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your life and in my life if we have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So therefore, Jesus says, when the Spirit comes upon you, the Spirit has come upon us, then we will be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Again, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. The answer is yes. You can shake your head, yes. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. This means Jesus has entrusted you and me with the privilege of sharing the gospel, of proclaiming the good news. And it is a privilege. It is a gift. We've talked about the gospel being a gift. This precious treasure that's been entrusted into our care that we need to share with other people. And it is a precious treasure that we need to share with other people. I wonder if God were to look upon your feet and mine, would He say if they were beautiful? And again, I don't mean beautiful in the sense of their appearance, but beautiful in the sense of sharing the gospel. Let me ask you a question. This is a question that I have had to ask myself recently. And listen, I want you to understand something, is when I prepare for messages, a lot of times I'm coming from the standpoint, you need to do this. Listen, God's already dealt in my heart as I prepared throughout the week. So I've dealt with these same things, in my life. But the question is this, let me ask you a question, is where are your feet going? Where are your feet going? Are your feet taking you to places and to people who need to hear the good news? Are they taking you to places and people who need to hear the good news? Are they being used to help get out the message of eternal life? I want to have truly beautiful feet as God defines beauty. My feet are nothing to look at. They're not pretty. But in God's eyes, they can be beautiful. And I want to have feet that are beautiful as He defines beauty. Again, it's a privilege to be a part of God's redemptive plan. It's a privilege to be used by God for His glory and honor. And every one of us has been called. Somebody needs to share the good news. And that somebody is me and you. I was reminded of that this past Thursday. Again, you know that we're visiting with a certain young lady, and she was feeling good one day, and we went downtown. And we were walking around downtown, and we walked into a store, one of the stores downtown. And I've been in there before. It's one of the stores. I go in there, and she's speaking with the clerk. And I walk in there, and she says, "You need to share the gospel with him." It's like, whoa. It just kind of took me by surprise. And so I began to figure out a way of how I could get into the conversation. And this guy was talking to him. He was an older guy, and he was talking. He just wouldn't hardly let us get a word in edgewise. And any way that I could think of to get into the conversation to share the gospel, it just wasn't going to happen. And then I finally said, "You know what, we're going to be back and to talk to you sometime, but I want you to know that we're going to be praying for you in the meantime." In fact, I took one of his cards, and here he is. Pete Wolf. No kin to Jay over there, spelled differently. The Gift Nook. And I'm telling you, I'm praying for Pete. I'm praying for his wife, Jo. And I'm going to go back there, and I'm going to ask God to give me an opportunity to share the gospel with this guy. Somebody needs to tell him. Well, that somebody is me. And so I'm going to make sure I go back and at least do my part. Somebody's got to go. Who in your life needs to hear the gospel? Who in your life needs to know the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Pray for those who are lost. We've talked about how prayer is an important key. And I'm going to say it again. Who in your life do you need to be praying for? Who in your life needs to know the gospel? Are you praying for them on a daily basis? Are you burdened to pray for them? Does your heart break over their spiritual condition? Is it something that really matters to you? Share your personal testimony. Share what God has done in your life personally. Share the three circles. We're going to be talking more about that as we get into our fall community groups. Looking how that looks. How we can turn everyday conversations into gospel conversations. We can share parables with people. Remember the parables that we've looked at through our series? The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the lost son, the hidden treasure, the large banquet. We talked about the unforgiving slave or the forgiving king a couple of weeks ago. Man, these are all great parables that we can share with people. And it shares the gospel. It's the gospel. You could tell a story like the story of Zacchaeus. Man, that's a good one to share. People can relate to that. Jesus is walking through. He notices Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner. And Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come stay at your house today. So he goes to Zacchaeus' house, and what happens? Zacchaeus' life is radically changed to the point where he says, if I've taken from anybody, which he had, I'm going to pay them back four times the amount. And not only that, I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor. And what did Jesus say? Today's salvation has come to this man's house. His life was radically changed. If God can change Zacchaeus' heart, he can change Pete Wolf's heart, who needs Jesus. He can change anyone. So tell those stories. Tell your personal testimony. But understand that it's all of our responsibility. And there are still many people who need to hear. Sometimes we get lulled into this sense of, I don't know, security that, you know, everything's going well and lots of people have heard. There are still lots of people who need to hear. Again, 59% of our world is unreached. 59%. So there's still work to be done. Father, we thank you today for this message and for the simple passage that we read today and understanding what Paul wants us to hear and knowing that we have all been called, we're all preachers in the sense of being somebody who shares or proclaims. And Lord, we want to have those beautiful feet. Feet that bring the gospel of good things, the message of good things. Lord, help us to know what that looks like in our lives. Whether it be in the jobs that we have or in the places that we serve or volunteer, even being a homemaker. Father, help us to understand what it means in our lives. You have a wonderful plan, a wonderful purpose for each of us to be that proclaimer, that preacher of the gospel. Open our eyes to the needs around us. Break our hearts for the lost. Let your Holy Spirit well up in us and give us power and strength and courage so that we can share with others. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. And we invite you to have your way in our lives now. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.